Thank you, Pastor Stan. And thank you, praise team. You know, I noticed that as a praise leader, sometimes I'm thinking, oh, if I don't have a bass, if I don't have a piano player, if I don't have all the, you know, the pieces, it's hard to lead because you think, oh, not gonna be as good, gonna be junk, yeah, kind of thing. But I gotta let you know, I was brought to tears by the worship. And I think it's telling me that the worship that you have is not a function necessarily of all the pieces. It's not a function of all the different instruments. It's a function of your heart being touched by God, the Spirit of God. And so I just thank the praise team for what they did and for leading us into worship. So some years ago, there was a book written by Dr. James Dobson. He's a clinical psychologist, and he had a program on the radio called Focus on a Family. How many people remember that? Okay, nobody over there going to remember that. The young guys, they're not going to remember. But a lot of guys on here are going to remember, okay? Focus on the Family. And he wrote a book called Love Must Be Tough. Now, I didn't know what that book was about until relatively recently, but the title stuck in my head. The book is actually about romantic love. It's about how love needs to be tough in order to survive. It can't be wimpy. Yeah, both parties have to kind of stand their ground for love to really work. There has to be this mutual respect. But that's not what this message is about. This message is about the title, Love Must Be Tough, because it kind of stuck in my head over the years. And what I found over the years is that this relationship thing, this church thing, this love thing, it's not easy. It's actually kind of tough to do that. To love people is a really tough thing. If your love isn't tough, it's not going to last. Just like a love that's not tough within a relationship, the relationship won't last. Love, if it's not tough as we try to love other people in Jesus' name, is not going to be tough. As I've seen people come and go for various reasons in church. Yeah? I mean, all kind of reasons why people come, all kind of reasons why people leave. Okay, so what I wanted to do is kind of explore this idea of tough love. What is God's love like? Right? He's asking us to love people. What is God's love like? And how does he want us to love other people in turn? How does it need to be tough? Okay? So let's take a time to pray, and then we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your tough love that you have displayed throughout the ages, Lord. We thank you for the examples that we know of in the Bible. And we pray, Lord, that we'll learn a little bit of something about your nature, about who you are, about love, and how you want us to love other people. We thank you for your presence here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, first thing we get started with is we need to know something about God. And the first thing we need to know about God is that God is love. Okay? God is love. 1 John 4:7-8. How's about everybody read that together with me? Ready, go. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. That last statement, God is love. He is the epitome. He's the very definition of love. Is God is love. Okay? So it's kind of like if you look in a dictionary and you say, what is love? Okay, it's going to see Jesus' picture there. Okay, God is love. So that begs the question, so what is love? So the verses that we know that define what love is to the best that we know of is basically 1 Corinthians 13. It's a love chapter, right? So I want the young guys to read this one, okay? Anybody under 20 can read this. If you're over 20, sit out this one. Let under the young guys. Because I know they can see this, right? I know they can see the thing. So, okay, you guys ready? Follow me. Ready? Go. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in, but rejoices the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13:4, 7-8. It's very familiar, this verse. I mean, a lot of people have read this. We've all read this thing. But we have this idea about love being this mushy thing. It's like, oh, I love you, right? It's this romantic, I love you. See, you're so nice. I love you. You know, so soft and mushy. And it's like, people say that kind, and me and Susan, sometimes we make people sick because we're so mushy. But it's so soft and mushy. But if you look at these, by the way, thanks for reading that. If you look at these, and we go by these like one at a time, love is patient. I'm not a very patient person, okay? Ask Susan. I'm not a very patient person. Things bother me. If things not going my way, I'm not a very patient person. It's tough for me to be patient. Love is kind. I can do some kind things, but all the time, I don't think so, right? Love is not jealous. I can see myself all the time looking at somebody, well, I wish I had that, right? I wish I had what they have and all that stuff. It doesn't brag, and it's not arrogant. We love to talk about ourselves, right? Right? Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Seek its own. I remember Pastor Stan's message. Remember he talked about the honored place at the banquet, right? He had the message about the honored place at the banquet. And he said, don't take the highest place, you take the lowest place, right? And let the guy, the master, bring you up to the honored place. We went to a banquet on Friday, I think. And I noticed something about me. When you go there to a banquet, if you're the first guy there, which seat do you take? Huh? Facing the podium, right? So you don't have to turn around and, right? Right? So the guys who come last, sorry, hard luck, they don't have to turn around and see, right? But it's human nature to take the best seats first, right? It seeks its own, it says here, right? That's what it is. We're basically selfish people, okay? It does not seek its own, it's not provoked. The word provoked is also translated as easily angered. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never fails. I think this is tough. I think this is really, really, really hard to do, to love people, okay? It's not a mushy thing. It's something that's very difficult. It's very tough to do. But this is the very nature of God, okay? This is the very nature of God to be love, okay? So God's love is tough, is resilient, and is focused in order to love in this manner, okay? Next point, God is love. Second point is that God loves us. So all of those things that we saw in that message, all of that applies to us. God loves us with that kind of a love. Okay? If you go, the screen with the the picture, yeah. You guys remember experiencing God? How many of you went through this study, right? Okay, so I have it circled, and I know we can't read this. So the second item of experiencing God was this. In experiencing God, the second point is that God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. We don't pursue God, but He pursues us, okay? The second point was that God loves us. God is love, God loves us. These are some verses that we can go through that support this point. Of course, John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Romans 3:10 through 12 says, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. And it says there, right, no one seeks God. And that's the point, that God pursues us, right? It's not us seeking Him, right? Third thing, Lord says in Jeremiah, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with an unfailing kindness. So God pursues us. He loves us, and He pursues us. He doesn't wait for us to come to Him. A lot of times, that's us, right? It's like, oh, let them come to me. They need to apologize to me. They need to come to me, right, kind of thing. God pursued us, okay? And in doing so, He paid the ultimate price in His pursuit of us. I'm going to read here from Isaiah 53, verses 3 to 6. This is a prophecy about the Messiah, about Jesus, okay? And as we read this, okay, and you folks can read it with me, feel what this is saying. in Isaiah, prophesying what the Messiah was going to go through, what Jesus was going to go through. This is the price that Jesus paid in order to love for us. Okay, if we can get to read along with me and feel what it's saying here. Okay, ready, go. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Can you feel the pain that Jesus went through? That's the kind of love he has for us. His love is tough. It doesn't quit. It pursues. It pursues and comes after us. I have a friend who I have lunch with. He's a kind of new Christian. So he asks all these questions about Christianity all the time. So he asks this question: why did Jesus have to die on the cross? What's the big deal with Jesus dying on the cross? Right? I mean, he's God anyway. So what's the big deal, right? I mean, he came to life again. So what's the big deal that he died? Because Jesus knew he was going to come back, right? And I said, that's a good question. I said, if somebody in your life passes away, who are the people that it hurts most when they pass away? It's usually the longer you have a relationship with somebody, the more it's going to hurt when they die. The closer relationship you have with somebody, the more it's going to hurt when you pass away, when the person passes away, right? And so it's a function. There's some people I knew a long time, but I wasn't close to. It's okay. It's not going to be as much of a hurt. Think about Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit in union for eternity. Eternity they knew each other. What would it be like for that relationship to be broken even for a minute? And it wasn't broken for a minute. Not 3 minutes, not 3 hours. It was broken for 3 days. How much did God suffer? How much did the triune God suffer because of God's death? You know, here I am to worship has the bridge, right? The bridge to here I am to worship is this. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I don't think we'll ever know. Because we don't live forever. We don't know what that pain was like, okay? But God suffered that pain for us. He loves us so much that he went through all of that. He paid a great price for us. He had to be tough in his love for us, but it cost him dearly to do that. Now, that's God. That's what God has done for us. But he also commands us to love, okay? He commands us to love, and this is what he says here in John 13:34. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And 1 John 4:11 says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Okay, so God says, okay, I loved you. Take that love that I gave you and transfer it and love somebody else. Now, what's the problem with that? Loving people is tough. It's hard to love people, okay? People are difficult. You know, somebody once said, church ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people, right? I mean, it would be a lot of fun if it wasn't for the people. Add to that the fact that we're naturally selfish. You know, I don't want to give up my time, my money, and my effort for another person, especially if they don't return my efforts. Yeah, there are some people that we can minister to. It's like, great, but they're going to do something back for us. It's all right, right? But when you're doing something for somebody who will never pay you back, that's difficult. But realistically, the number one reason over time that I've seen why people don't love other people is this word offense. Offense. I don't know how many of you remember Ron Cam came a couple years ago, and he did this. He did this message on a small group that they were doing. The small group was doing this all so many week series called "The Bait of Satan," and the bait of Satan is offense. When people get mad at somebody else, you know, that guy did this to me. I hate that guy. I don't like that guy. I'm offended. Okay? The bait of Satan. Why is it the bait of Satan? It's because what Satan puts out there to snare you, to snare believers. He takes offense and he snares believers and keeps them from being the believers, his arm of love to other people. Offense is what he uses to keep us from God and to keep us from loving people. Okay? If the next one has the 1 Corinthians 13, again, I guess the next screen. Love is patient, love is kind. You notice I underlined there, not provoked. Okay, God is not provoked. Like I said, that word is not is easily offended. So God is not easily offended or easily angered. Okay, that's what that term is. Understand that if we are easily angered, we are not going to be doing very much for Jesus. If we are easily angered, it's going to be hard for us to do something for Jesus because we're going to be in this constant sense of, oh, that guy made me mad. I'm not going to do this. This person made me mad. I'm not going to do this kind of thing. There was a time at our small group, one of our small groups, a person came up to me and said, you know, I'm not going to, you know, I'm really sorry. I like the small group and so forth, but I'm not going to be coming anymore because somebody at the small group said something and I don't know, that's really offensive, and I just can't handle that, so I'm not going to come anymore. So, okay, I never found out who it was and what they said, you know, but this person said, no, I'm not going to come anymore. And I was sad because, you know, it's a person we had invited to come in and said, no, I'm not going to come anymore. And that person stopped coming to our church, too, for that matter. Something offended this person. A few small groups later, someone came to our small group and shared, you know, somebody said something to me that was just so offensive. I mean, I was so mad. I'm thinking, you know, God, is this the church you want me to be at? Is this the church that you want me to stay at? Because, man, that was terrible what this person said. This person's supposed to be a mature Christian, and he said something. How can he say something so terrible? But this person went home, and God spoke to this person's heart, said, I want you here in this church. I don't want you to use your tongue to retaliate. I want you to love people. I want you to stay here. And when this person shared this at our small group, I was just so touched. I said, you know, this person gets it. I'm glad that they didn't let that offense keep them from loving God and from loving people, right? One of the kind of neatest stories, I think, about tough love is a story about a guy named Nicky Cruz. Nicky Cruz was in a gang. He was a terrible gang leader and so forth, but he came to Christ and he started a ministry called Nicky Cruz Ministries and so forth. He became an evangelist, a best-selling author. But this was his background. He was born in Puerto Rico. He was regularly beaten from the age of 3.5 years old. He was beaten at home. Okay, this kid. At the age of 9, his heart turned to stone after a severely abusive episode and a failed suicide attempt. As one of 19 children born to witchcraft practicing parents in Puerto Rico, bloodshed and mayhem were common occurrences in his life. He suffered severe physical and mental abuse at the hands at one time was being declared the son of Satan by his mother. At 16, he moved to New York City. He basically went out on the streets. He went to New York City. And he became a member of the notorious Brooklyn street gang known as the Mau Maus. Within 6 months, he had risen through the ranks. At 16 years old now, he had risen through the ranks to become their warlord, ruling the streets as a leader of one of the most feared gangs by rivals and police. Lost in the cycle of alcohol and brutal violence, his life took a tragic turn for the worse when his best friend and fellow gang member Manny was jumped and stabbed repeatedly. Manny bled out and died in Nikki's hands. As Nikki Cruz's violent reputation grew, so did his haunting nightmares. Arrested countless times, a court-ordered psychiatrist pronounced Nikki's fate as hopeless. He was destined for a prison, the electric chair, and hell. There's a picture of Nikki Cruz, I think, after this. Yeah, so this is Nikki Cruz. He was on the way to hell, basically. There was a young pastor in Pennsylvania that was looking at a newspaper, and he saw these kids who were being tried for murder. And they were members of the Mau Mau gang, and Nikki Cruz was one of them. And his heart broke, not necessarily, although yes, for the victim, but for these kids, these people who were on trial for murder. And he decided that he's going to go to New York City, and he's going to try to do something for them. And that was the birth of the movie called The Cross and the Switchblade. I'm going to play a clip of it in a second. But the result was that David Wilkerson, in ministering there in New York, and he went through a lot. Nikki Cruz spat at him, hit him, you know, threatened to kill him. Yeah, and this guy just wouldn't let up. He kept coming after him with love. Coming after Nikki Cruz with love. And the result ended up being that Teen Challenge was born out of that ministry. Some of you remember Teen Challenge. They used to come here, and they used to minister here. They used to bring a bunch of kids. They used to sing, and they would tell their testimonies and stuff. There is a Teen Challenge thing here. But that arose because of the tough love of David Wilkerson. Now, to set up this clip, David Wilkerson decided, you know, I'm going to get the two gangs together, and I'm going to have a youth night. Yeah, we're going to have a singing and all this kind of stuff. It's going to be great. We're going to have a youth night, just like you guys had youth night, right? He made a youth night. But on one side was the bishops, one gang. The other side was the Mau Maus. And they had decided beforehand, they're going to lock the doors. They're going to have it out right there in the auditorium. That was the plan. The plan was to have a rumble right there in the auditorium at the event that David Wilkerson had planned. But something happened. Something happened that day. And this is a message that David Wilkerson gave, played by Pat Boone. I want you to take a look at this and see what was said. Okay?
You know, we all like to put tags on people, don't we? Try to make them like everybody else. I bet you thought that asking those guys to collect the money was like asking a junkie to guard a drugstore.
You called you a junkie?
Right? But they fooled you, didn't they? They wouldn't wear your tag. They shook free.
They did it because they were suckers!
There's nobody in this world that can tag you because nobody knows how you really feel inside. No friend, no gang member, no Deb or Diddy Bopper or preacher or priest or rabbi or social worker or psychiatrist, nobody. Because your mind, your feelings, your spirit are so fantastic it would take a mind bigger than the whole world to understand you. That's why I don't preach religion. I preach about a man. The only one who knows why you do the things you do. The only one who knows what's bugging you, what's eating you. And the only one who has the power to do anything about it. Now I want every ditty bop off, and I want you to listen to me. Go on, take them off. Don't be looking around at somebody else to see what everybody else is doing. Have the guts to be different, to listen for once. Now, I'm making this God's house right now, and this is the pulpit. And I'm going to talk, and if you've got the guts, you'll listen. I'm going to talk about a man. And I'm going to talk about love. That's right, love. That word that bugs you. It's a sissy word to most of you. You're going to see tonight that love is the gutsiest word in the English language. I've got to try to make you understand the meaning of love. Love isn't just something you feel. Love is something you do. It's got nothing to do with weak knees or a fluttery heart. Love is the gutsiest act that you'll ever do. Because love is turning away from your hate. And that takes guts. And this book says, God is love. God looked at the sins in our hearts. All our hearts, yours, mine, everybody's. And he hated those sins. But God turned away from his own hate, and he sent his only son into this world to love us. Jesus was a package of pure love, sweet, straight love for you, for me. And I don't care who you've cut, and I don't care what you've been smoking or shooting. I don't care who you've been laying around with. God loves you anyway. And I know each one of you here knows about the Ten Commandments. Most of you here have broken every one of them. God knows about that, too. He knows about your angers, your fears, your frustrations. He knows that most of you have fought, and some of you have even killed. But God also knows what you can be like in the future, not just what you've been in the past. Jesus said there's just one great commandment, that you love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. I'm going to ask God right now for a miracle. Father, I'm asking you now for a miracle that in this next moment, these lives will be changed. I'm asking you, Mau Maus, to turn away from hating your black brother. I'm asking you, bishops, to forgive the white man's sins, just as God forgives yours.
Look at this, preacher. See this hole I got in me? This came from one of them niggas' zip guns. And you say that I'm supposed to love them. Man, you're not real.
Hey, man, my brother died from a Mau Mau rumble. And you say you want me to love them hunkies? Yeah, man, I'm gonna love them. I'm gonna love them with a sharp blade.
Now, you shut up and listen to me. You say you gotta kill them because of what they did to you. You gotta kill them because of what they've done to you. Everybody's griping about this atrocity and that tragedy. All I hear is what a rotten deal we've all got. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ was perfect, and they crucified him. He never said one complaining word. And when he died on that cross, he was a man like you. He had the same fears and the same feelings that you have. He felt pain, just the way you feel pain. He felt those nails driven into the flesh of his hands. His hands, the most sensitive part of his body. And his feet. They drove a spike into his feet, and they nailed him hands and feet to the cross. And he didn't have to let them do that to him. He could have called out a whole legion of angels to take him down from that cross. He could have slaughtered all his tormentors, but he didn't. He hung there, bleeding. For you. So you wouldn't have to die here today. So you wouldn't have to kill here today. Why don't you stop crying about the sins of the past? Stop paying for those sins. Man, it's all paid up. It's free. All you have to do is just accept it. Just open up your hearts and let all that bitterness run out. And let Jesus Christ come in.
Check. Okay. Yes, indeed. Let Jesus Christ come in. And Nikki Cruz's life was changed forever. Because of the tough love of David Wilkerson and God. You know, our love must be tough in order to overcome these obstacles. We love because God first loved us, right? 1 John 4:19 says, we love because God first loved us. We need to receive God's love, as the video talked about, in order to be able to give it. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives can we love others as God commands. Let's take a look at this verse, Zechariah 4, 6 and 7. You can read this with me. Go. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of God. Bless it. God bless it. Let Jesus Christ come in. By the way, I'm sorry. I tried to bleep out a word that might be offensive. I tried. I'm really sorry about that. I said the N-word and stuff. I was trying to do that. But the key is that Nikki Cruz was loved so relentlessly by God, by David Wilkerson, that he gave his life to Jesus. It's what it's going to take for us to do God's work, to love people. What will you do about this message today? As I call up the band for the final song, I want you to think about something. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, the first step is to receive God's love, because you can't do this anyway without Him in us, right? We need to have Him in us in order to give away that love. To summarize, God is love, that love displayed in 1 Corinthians 13. He loved us with an unrelenting pursuit through the death of His Son, Jesus. He calls us to love others in the same way, but loving others is tough because people are difficult, we are selfish, and prone to be easily offended. But with Jesus, all things are possible. Okay? So the first step is to basically accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't done that, you can pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to die on the cross for me. I know that I have sinned, and I turn away from those sins and turn to you. I ask your Holy Spirit to come into my heart and make me a new person. I make you Lord of my life, and I will live for you from now on. Thank you for coming into my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, you've entered the family of God. If you want to talk to somebody about it, you can talk to Pastor Stan, you can talk to myself, Stephen, Darren, any of the elders, teachers, we can help you with that. And secondly, for those of you who have already accepted Christ, ask the Lord to give you a tough love for people. Confess to the Lord and acknowledge that loving people is tough. It's okay. God knows it's difficult to love people. Hebrews 2:18 says, He knows our fears and hang-ups because He Himself has suffered. So therefore, He can come to our aid because He has suffered those things, right? So go to Him. Ask Him to help you. Ask the Holy Spirit to soften your heart so you don't let difficult people, your own selfishness, your human tendency to be offended, keep you from loving the way God commands us to love. If we are to change the world, our love must be tough. God will show us the way. Let us follow His example. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the example that You've given us through Your Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for Your tough love. We can be unlovely at times, hard to love at times, but You pursued us anyway. Thank You for that. Thank You for all You've suffered for us. And Lord, now You tell us that You want us to love others in the same way, but it's difficult. People are difficult. I'm not loving by nature, Lord. But with Your Holy Spirit in my life, I ask You to change my heart. Take my heart of stone, and make it into a heart of flesh that will love people, but yet be tough in my love and to not give up, and to not let offense and selfishness get in the way. Thank you, Father, for your love. We pray that you will change our lives through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.